There have been a lot of subtle indications that the market in retail, which is cyclical no matter what, is possibly going in for a downturn. Are you seeing any indications of that?
Well, we're seeing results from retailers. We're seeing results from shipping companies like UPS. And we've even seen results this week from JDA Software that is suggesting that there may be a slowdown. Now, those may be unique situations to those companies, but there's tending to be more of them than less of them. And with items such as rising interest rates, a slowdown in the housing market that's been documented, and the increasing rise in the price of oil, and then certainly increased tensions and unrest in the Middle East, all those things are giving people the jitters. And I think we're starting to see a slowdown in consumer spending, which drives so much of the retail economy.
Now, one of the things that's interesting, depending on how much you buy into the argument, is that a well-executed IT strategy can be a cost savings, that when dollars are tight, that you want to invest in some of the, selectively, but you want to invest in IT so that you can save money in personnel and in 10 other areas. How much of an impact do you think IT is going to have if indeed we are in for a downturn?
I think the impact you'll see if it's truly a downturn, you will see retailers begin to close ranks, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the more risky things and really the more fun things to grow business and grow top-line revenue typically get shelved when they're dealing with a downturn, with the exception of the gutsiest of retailers. And those are the ones that really thrive, is the ones that don't shrink back in the face of slower revenues on their IT spending. Those that tend to shrink back a little bit are those that only go for those cost savings types of IT programs and continue to hold on to legacy systems rather than investing in the future. So it's those retailers that you have to worry about in a downturn.
From the software vendor side, what you'll find is investment more in point solutions, because when an economy is uncertain, the thought of replacing your infrastructure so that you can scale up higher becomes something that you'll shelve, because you'll find a way to make do with what you have for a bit longer. And you'll just put in a point solution that obviously gives you a quick bang for the buck.
I agree that if the economy does go into a downturn, that retailers certainly will be more conservative in their technology spending. However, I'm seeing indications of retailers starting to recognize a much greater value in what I'd call integration, both integration of process and integration of information. And, you know, we probably see that the most on the merchandising side. And there's some renewed interest in technology approaches like service-oriented architecture, which on the surface promises that you can transform and evolve your technical architecture incrementally, and at the same time be able to integrate your enterprise much less expensive. Certainly, yeah, it's been demonstrated that an SOA approach, service-oriented architecture approach, does reduce the complexity within the IT shop.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. I don't think SOA will be one of the things that would be a casualty within the if there is a downturn. And I'm not saying there is one. I'm just saying there seems to be signs, at least this week's earnings season, to suggest that people aren't doing as well as they once were in the retail technology side of things. So we'll see how that plays out across the broader sense of, or broader audience of vendors as well as retailers. But there are several categories there that are showing that things might be slowing down a bit.
You know, Greg, one concern that I've had as M&A has sort of thundered along the landscape is that at some point the market was going to start to freeze, because people were going to be a bit unsure about what the next move was going to be and which vendors were going to exist and which products were going to be sunsetted by the acquirers. And I'm wondering if that's a piece of it. You know, I particularly felt it when, and not because of that specific acquisition, but right around the time that JDA purchased Manugistics, I thought, boy, this is starting to get challenging for retailers, because you're going to have to wonder, if I buy this, I think I'm going to be doing business with this vendor, but in fact I may be doing business with this other vendor tomorrow. And so maybe I, instead of making the shift to packaged application, because let's not forget, left to their own devices, retailers tend to have a propensity to roll their own anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, given the environment of M&A, maybe it's giving retailers pause for thought to say, well, hold on, maybe I should think twice about who I'm going to buy from.
That is exactly true. I mean, we're seeing that in the data. Some of the data that we saw just with SAP and Oracle's purchases and the jump in market awareness of retailers in terms of how that affects even their point-of-sale purchase. They weren't traditionally in that space. They bought two companies that were, and now all of a sudden they're one of the top POS players immediately. And so the retailers are really pausing, I think is the right term you used, to say, am I buying someone who's going to be eaten, or am I buying the one that's doing the eating?
And given the size of some of the purchases, it's like size doesn't matter, you know?
Right.
You can't even take comfort in the fact that, you know, well, okay, it's a $10 billion company, I must be safe.
Yeah, the flip side of this argument, too, is what's happening with the private investment groups and the hedge funds that are looking and taking these equity investments and taking public companies private and things there and trying to pretty them up and selling them off later. I'm fielding a ton of calls now from research organizations wanting to know about different retailers and different vendors, specifically for the sake of investment in them to take them over. And that's a major change than from previous years, where it's been just basically, I'm looking to place an investment in this company. It's not so much from a speculation standpoint as I want to run this company and make it better.
I mean, in some ways, on the retailer side, that's not such a terrible thing. And we're getting a little off technology, but it's worth talking about, because retailers are so, publicly held retailers are so captive to Wall Street's pretty straightforward expectations of we want continued increase in sales per square foot and comp store sales and square footage growth. And in some industries, that's just not real.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some cases, you're actually better off being privately held. You can wheel home your barrels of money in and keep your comp store sales relatively flat.
Now, going back to this issue about confusing the retailers with the merger and acquisitions, you know, technology vendors have to be held responsible for this, and I would expect to see them lead. A great example, Manhattan Associates, they've done a good job articulating on the supply chain side, and 50% of their customer base is CPG and retail. Good job articulating how their acquisitions, along with their core products, can provide value to a retailer. And they also approach it from several different aspects. They don't just talk about functionality application. You know, they talk about the underlying architecture, the underlying platform, you know, the value of having flexibility and workflow, the value of being able to integrate quicker and with much less complexity. So I do see some technology vendors out there that have been very successful in talking about their story, and the market has rewarded them. And I look at Oracle, I look at SAP, I look at JDA, and I don't see a move forward strategy that really is compelling to me as a retailer.